a little bit different. I saw the face of Jesus on a little orphan boy. He was lying in a crib in the state-run hospital they called his home. You said you wanted to see me. Well, here I am. What now, Nan? What now will you do now that you found me? And Pat, Mary, and Joy know exactly what that means, because you go there to bless these kids, but you end up getting more blessed. And Dimitri was my first baby that I fell in love with. It brings tears to my eyes, because I was telling the ladies yesterday that we had some fellowship with. When I went into this hospital in 1998, I was devastated, because these nine babies in this little room weren't crying, not one of them. And they had on diapers that were a sheet wrapped up all the way to their chest, tied here. They had rags on. Their cribs were, you know, not really a normal crib. It looked like there was like chicken wire for the crib, and it smelled really bad. And I remember going to reach in to hold a toddler, and that toddler didn't even know how to reach up for me to hold her. And, you know, I cry because I know that the Lord said to me when I asked him, "What are you going to do, Lord?" And that's when he said, "What are you going to do?" You know, and he brought me there, because at that time in my life, I was ready to leave Romania. It was already 4 years, and I was really tired. And I had seen enough sadness to last me a lifetime. But the Lord really showed me this was my place, because I've never been married. I'm an old maid. Yes, 50 years old, but I'm a cute old maid. You know, I've never had my own kids. That's what I thought I would be, you know. I really thought I'd be a mother. You know, I'm a professional baby hugger. I'm a wannabe mom, you know. But God said, "Nan, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose. You're going to love my children in Romania." I thought it was going to be I would get married, have my own kids, and move somewhere, because I did want to be a missionary somewhere. But it wasn't like that. And, you know, if I was to die tomorrow, I would never feel like I was cheated, because the Lord has used these children so much in my life. In Philippians 3:10, it says, "To know him and the power of his resurrection and the suffering, and the fellowship of his suffering." You know, I really got to know the Lord through going to Romania. You know, I would have never picked that place. I liked it in Spain. I was a missionary there 3 years. And I remember thinking, you know, I could live here. This is really nice. But there was a deep desire to help the poor and also children. And the Lord knew that. And I think God is so gracious. He, you know, I know some of you know my testimony, but he started me out in Hawaii, you know, with YWAM, Youth of the Mission, that also stands for Youth Without Any Money. I went there. And I got my training, and I definitely wanted to be a missionary, and went to the Philippines, Hong Kong, and, you know, it was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I was 30 years old. I had wanted to be a missionary since I was 20, but God had to do a lot of preparation for me to go on the mission field full time. And so I went with Youth of the Mission. Also found out it also stands for Young Women After Men, but that wasn't my case, because I'm still single. But there was a lot of people getting their MRS degree while they were at YWAM, and that means Mrs. And I was just like, "Oh, this is awesome, Lord. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life." But I didn't. I was prayed, and I said, "Lord, use me in any way you see fit." And, you know, in the scriptures, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:9, it says that, you know, we have been called with a holy calling. Not for our own purpose, but his purpose in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we think we know best for our life, but the Lord really, he does know best. And when I went into that hospital and I said, "What are you going to do, Lord?" And he asked me, he always does that. Even the Bible asks us a question. He said, "What are you going to do?" I just started bringing little, you know, packages of Pampers and started going there as much as I could. And there was a young girl, 13 years old. She was a missionary kid. She was the one that introduced me to this hospital. It's a state-run hospital, and the government is still very corrupt to this day, even though it's been 20 years since the fall of communism. They don't give them enough supplies. I mean, truly, the first thing I wanted to do on the agenda was get new mattresses, Because it smelled, even when I brought baby lotion, Johnson & Johnson baby lotion. I love the smell of that stuff. I even wear it sometimes. I couldn't get that smell, you know. And I realized it's in these mattresses because they were so soiled. And so we got new ones, and they were going to keep them. I go, why don't you just burn them? They're made out of straw. It'd be easy just to burn. Well, you know what happened? They had cockroaches, infested with cockroaches. So they were flying out when they, you know, got rid of those mattresses. I thought, no wonder my little babies had bites on their face because of these mattresses. So that was our first thing that we did. And little by little, we started a program. I was just one person. I found out later that another organization called Heart to Heart, they wanted to work in Victor Gomori Hospital, but they came as a team and a group, an organization. I was just myself, you know. And so I wasn't a threat. But little did I know that eventually I was going to be a team there. But at that time, they saw what we were doing, coming in, bringing clean sheets, clean clothes, which you provided through your team. They brought us some beautiful developmental toys. And, I mean, it was just, that's how ROC functions, is these teams come over with supplies because we can get things like that in Romania. But I was telling the girls yesterday that a bottle, just a baby bottle, is $8, you know, because it's a nice baby bottle, but $8. So when people bring us things like that, that helps us so much. It really helps us a great deal. And so when I went into the hospital, I had no idea this is what God wanted to do. And then he gave me a few years later, I think it was in 1999, a vision for our own facility. And we were going to call it Bedrock Falls Ranch, which I kept for years and years saying we're going to build Bedrock Falls Ranch. I might even shared it the last time I was here. And what we did was we bought some land about 25 miles south of Bucharest, because another church, Calvary Chapel of Huntington Beach, bought 20 acres of land in the same area. And we bought the land next to their land because they wanted to build a camp there. And so we thought we could build houses on our land to place children that are hard to place, because we get kids with cerebral palsy, with PERT syndrome, TAR syndrome, I mean, there are all kinds of syndromes, Down syndrome, and they're harder to place into the foster care program that we started in the country. We are recognized by the government to place children in Christian homes. But we're kind of limited because it's hard to find families, even Christian families in Romania, who will take kids with disabilities or even a gypsy child. And gypsies, if some of you don't know, they're nomads, and they originated from India, and they made their way into Egypt, and that's how they got their names. They call them gypsies. Now they don't call them gypsies. They like to be called the Roma population. But the larger percentage of gypsies live in Romania. But you'll find them all over the world. Well, there's a prejudice against them by the Romanians. And unfortunately, a lot of the Romanian people get the bad rap of abandoning their kids. But probably 80% of my children that come in the hospital through the years are gypsy children. And so I thought, well, we could place these kids, you know, in Bedrock Falls Ranch. 10 years must be the magic number in my life, because it took 10 years for the Lord to allow me to go on the mission field. When I went my first trip to Tijuana, Mexico, and I saw poverty for the very first time in my life, and I knew God had called me to be a missionary, but he had to do some preparation. Well, the same thing. We bought the land. It was only $200 an acre, $2,000. The taxes were double that, so it was actually $4,000 for this land, and nothing happened. It was like I kept, you know, we were saving money up, and then when the 9/11 happened in 2001, we had to use that money that we're saving up for Bedrock Falls Ranch to function as a ministry. So it seemed like there was just things that were happening, and I thought, well, Lord, in your timing. Well, when I was talking to the ladies, Mary even mentioned, it kind of sounded like I didn't think this would ever happen, and I think in my heart I was ready just to say, I don't think this dream is going to happen. And this last April, last month, this contractor from my hometown came out with his wife to just, you know, spy out the land. And he had heard me share about this dream, Bedrock Falls Ranch, at a missions conference in my hometown, Bakersfield. And he shared about what he was doing in Africa, and he was building schools for the pygmies in Africa, and he'd been there 15 times. So I went up to him. I said, you know, would you want to build something in Romania? And he just kind of looked at me, well, let me hear what you have to say, and what do you want to do? So I shared a little bit, but nothing happened. That was like 3 or 4 years ago. And then he saw me again in my hometown, and he came up to me and said, my wife and I, we would like to go to Romania. I said, okay. So they came to Romania, and one day in my hospital, and he that evening he said, Nan, I'm 100% behind this project. I can see why you want to build houses on that land. I wanted to cry. I finally got someone who wanted to help me see this vision come to fruition. And we're going to start in March of 2010, Lord willing. And this is a neat thing. You know, we know in the scriptures that says that, I know it by heart, but here it is, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, God will give us some evidence of things that we are hoping for, even if it's something like a job or if you want to get married. I'm still hoping for that. There's other things, you know, we hope for and we live by faith because we can't please the Lord without faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. It says that in Hebrews 11:6. And so the Lord gave me a contractor, Jack Highfield from Bakersfield, California, who that gave me some little bit of evidence. Well, if that wasn't enough, he also gave me an architect from Bakersfield, who's they're doing this all pro bono. Jack is a retired contractor, and his wife as well is retired now. And so he will be overseeing the project when in March. He'll come over with his wife for 2 months. Well, I really feel God is calling me to go back to school to be a nurse because I really, you know, I work 11 years in a hospital. I've been having this desire to know more. I feel limited. Like I can't really do as much as when nurses, like Mary, when she was over there, you know, and you don't have to be in the medical field to work in the hospital because like I said, I'm a professional baby hugger. And believe me, you could do a lot hugging those babies. So if you feel called to Romania, that's the first requirement is to be love children and just love on these kids. So I thought, well, how am I going to go back to school when now we're going to start this project? Well, God has led a couple to pray about coming over to oversee this project. And they're coming in January 2010. And he's a builder, and she had 15 kids. 15 kids, I mean, literally no twins, all her own, no kids adopted. And this is great because she knows how to feed a lot of people. And when the teams come over, she's going to feed the kids. So they're a perfect combination. But I say all this to say that this is some evidence. Now, we don't have all the money. We don't even have a tenth of what we need. But when I was in Bakersfield sharing about Bedrock Falls Ranch, a church gave us $10,000. And they want to be the first team to come over. Now, that's all I need. I just need things like this to get me excited. And there are so many other things. We needed a van for our ministry. I've been wanting a ministry for years. And this year, the Lord gave us $25,000 for a 2007 8-passenger van for our ministry. That was such a blessing, as well as all our kids are going to get to go to a camp that we never had the money to do this. You know, we're in a financial crisis. But in God's economy, family, it's different. And I know that's sometimes hard to grasp. Even in my life, I said, Lord, I'm really nervous about the funds because, you know, sometimes I totally understand. We are in a hard times, worst times in the history of our nation. And it's, of course, affected the whole world, even Romania. But we have to think we're not in this world. This is God's economy. We're doing things that we never have been able to. I mean, people think I'm crazy. We're going to build homes on land during a financial crisis. Well, the materials are half off. So it's like this is really a good time to build. But I say this because the Lord can provide for us. Remember, I've shared when it's God's will, it's his bill. This is true. And I learned this through Pastor Chuck. He always shared this so many times about when God guides, he provides. And it's easy just to stand up here and say this, but I have personally experienced it from living a life as a missionary. And not only to raise funds for myself, but a whole ministry now. And there are times where I'm thinking, it's not going to happen, Lord. But on the 11th hour, he comes through. And I hope this encourages you to give even tithe more. Because that's what God told me personally. And I have seen things happen in my own personal life as well as the ministry. We also tithe as a ministry, and God has been so faithful. And in a personal note, I wanted to go back to Spain. I had been there 12 years, and I couldn't afford to go. And I started tithing a little bit more than 10%, and I was able to find tickets for $200 from Romania to Spain, and I was able to go with one of my volunteers, and we were able to stay with my directors that I used to work with in Spain. And that's just a little glimpse of what, you know, sometimes God would give us desires of our heart, and, you know, there's even just needs that we may have to have food on the table. I see it over in Romania all the time. People literally, they just need food, and Rock Ministries is also helping families that are very, very poor, that just need some help to get through hard times. And, you know, I feel like I don't have any needs compared to the Romanians. You know, when I come to America, I have to say I call this the United States of a miracle, because it's so different from even Romania, which is not a third world country. It's second world, but it's advanced so much in the 15 years when I went there in 1994. But they're still outside my door, outside my window. I can see poverty. It's all around. And it keeps me humble. It makes me realize, Lord, I have so much. And it's a good place to be, because when I come here, I have to admit there's things that I think I need and want, and I don't. But it's hard to be a Christian sometimes in America. I will admit that, because I live in Romania, but I come here, like I'll be here for 2 months, and I realize, wow, there is so much temptation. There's so much distraction. And the word for Romanian for fun is distractive. Sounds like distraction. And in Spanish, it's divertido, which means diversion. So fun can be a distraction and diversion if it's not channeled in the right way, and that's through our life with Jesus Christ. And I mention that because God's ways are not our ways. We know that in the Bible. And I would really ask that you would pray, if God is calling you, even while I'm sharing, to go and be a part of building Bedrock Falls Ranch, or even going to, like, the team that was there. Joy is a speech pathologist, and she is skilled to teach children how to speak, and also she taught a little girl, Lena, how to swallow. And for me, that was huge, because this little girl had to be fed through an NG tube. She's now 14 years old. She weighs 35 pounds. She is in a crib. If she had been like this precious baby, I had gotten this precious baby like her, I could have helped her. Because we would have given her therapy that she wouldn't have had to be 14 years old, still living in a crib. And now I'm praying for her to go be with the Lord, because she's very ill right now. This is why Bedrock Falls Ranch, God put this burden on my heart. Because it's kids that do not get the care that they should get to have really a more of a normal life. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of kids that I have literally seen have to die early. When we were showing that footage, there are so many children that was on that footage that are now with the Lord. And it could have been prevented, because they had hydrocephalus, fluid on the brain, and the doctors would not put a shunt in their body, in their head, so the fluid could drain into their stomach cavity, a 40-minute operation, because they said, well, we don't want to waste the shunt on an abandoned child. I mean, this is true. I'm not making this up. And now, praise the Lord, I had a neurosurgeon from UCLA Medical Center, Dr. Lazarus. He came over and trained these doctors, because they couldn't even do these surgeries. And then once they learned how to do them, they gave me that answer. Well, you know, the shunt costs $1,000. We're not going to waste it on, you know, a child that the parents don't even want. So he gave me 10 shunts. I visited him, and he gave me 10. I was carrying $10,000 worth of shunts in my carry-on, and they're not very big, so they fit in my carry-on. And I thought, Lord, you know, you are so good. You are providing. This man, Dr. Lazarus, he's not even a Christian. He's a nice heathen, you know. And I call him a pre-Christian, because he could never tell me no when I asked him, can you come to Romania? He couldn't say no. And after coming to Romania, his first trip was 2001. He's now started his own nonprofit organization. He's gone to China. He's from originally Argentina. He goes to Guatemala. He was the one that separated the two conjoined twins from Guatemala that are alive today because of him and his team of doctors. And it was just amazing how this little ministry was just to help children, one child at a time, be placed with a family. I didn't have any idea that God was going to bring doctors and nurses and speech pathologists and, you know, teachers and physical therapists, you know, because I don't have very many talents. I really don't. I'm just, like I said, I love children. I'm a professional baby hugger. But God used me. And he doesn't look at our abilities as much as our availability. He saw how much I would do anything for him. Because when I moved to Romania, I gave the organization that I moved there 2 years of my life. I said, I could do it, 2 years. But truly, I was so afraid. I thought, I've never lived by myself. I've always lived with someone. And I was going to move to an ex-communist country and live literally in an apartment by myself. I mean, not only did I always share a room with my twin sister, I shared a womb. So I was never by myself. And God, that first day I moved to Romania in 1994, I was not afraid. That's when you know it's the Lord. You have no fear. Now, I was afraid before I got there. But when I got there and I was in that room, I said, Lord, I'm not even afraid. I can sense your presence here with me. And that's how God will do his work in us, is that you have, well, first of all, he gives you a word, and then you have his peace. I mean, I would literally go to the grocery store. I didn't even know how to deal with their money. And we say, you know, you're an American in Romania when it takes four people to pay the check. Because their money used to be millions. Like a million lei was worth $40. I was a millionaire in lei at one time. But now they've taken four zeros off, so it's not as bad. Now it's 100 lei is like $30. But I would just give them my money, hoping they weren't going to cheat me at the, you know, the open market, the farmer's market, because I had no idea how to figure out that conversion at the very beginning. And there were so many things. I just had to trust the Lord that this was his will for me to go to Romania and help abandoned children, orphans. And so with all that, I say that pray with us, because I know that abandoned children, orphans, it breaks the heart of God. And he wants us to do the things that break his heart. He never, ever intended for children to grow up in orphanages. There's not even a such thing as a good orphanage. Children need a mommy and daddy. They need to be raised in a family that loves Jesus. And that's how they're going to grow up and be able to help their own nation. And that's what we're trying to do, is to change the infrastructure of this country that was communist for 44 years, where their dictator kicked out God. It says in the Word, in Psalms, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's what is happening with our own country. We're trying to kick God out. And I've lived 15 years in a country that kicked God out of their nation, where they couldn't celebrate Christmas, couldn't celebrate Easter. And if they were found praying or reading the Bible, they are put in prison or even killed for their faith. Richard Rembrandt started the Voice of the Martyrs. He was a Romanian Jew. And so these people were persecuted for their faith, and they had a strong body of believers in Romania. And that's how the revolution began. They prayed that God would break through and that they would be able to freely read their Bible, freely be able to talk about Jesus. And I've talked to people that had to, you know, live through the communist years, waiting in line for bread, waiting, you know, getting up at 3 a.m. to have meat on the table because there was a limited amount. Ceausescu had said, we'll give you a house to live in, food, a job, but they didn't realize what kind of life it was going to be. And I pray for our nation all the time that God would, even our president, that they would see that we have to keep our eyes on the Lord, and that we would never kick him out of our nation, and that we would not end up like Romania. It's been 20 years, and there's still a far cry from what they could have been. And unfortunately, there's still children being abandoned, even after 20 years, even after they became part of the European Union in 2007, there are still children being abandoned. And so if God is putting a burden on your heart, I thank you as a church for praying for Rock, for being involved. I know every time I came, I think I've been here 5 or 6 times, Pat was always there, you know, and telling me, I'm going to go to Romania someday. I'm going to go to Romania. And I knew she would in God's timing. Every event I did, a woman's event in Calvary Chapel, Greece, she was there. Finger Lakes, she was there. And you know what's so neat is that Calvary Chapel, Finger Lakes, that's how it all happened. It was Bill Gallatin. He was at a missions conference in Austria. And I gave him one of my newsletters. We do these little newsletters. And I have a table back there. You can take anything you'd like. And Bill gave it to his wife, Rosemary. Always go to the wife. They're sympathetic. I mean, she read it, and she's the one that contacted me and said, how can we help? And it was through Rosemary that I came to the Finger Lakes, and I shared at Calvary Chapel. And then Calvary Chapel Greece got excited. They were the first team from this upstate New York. And then there was, another church. Is it West Point? West Side in Spencerport. They brought two teams, and I'll be sharing with them this week as well. And then there's a new church. Is it Niagara Frontier? I'm going to be speaking at their church. So I'm so excited. You'll see me again because I have so many wonderful churches here in upstate New York that are supporting Rock, and I love what we're doing. I mean, I don't do a brochure for recruiting people to come. They come, and the girls already told me that they're coming to come back. You know, that's what it's like. They don't come really to see me. Maybe they do like me, but they love my babies. I mean, they might like to come because we are fun. We have fun together, but it's really the children. God, that song is true. You see the face of Jesus. We're like Jesus with skin when we're over there, but these children, they are Jesus with skin, truly. Because unto the least of these, you've done it to me when you've done it unto the least of these. How least can you get when your own parent doesn't want you? Matthew 25:45, he says, when were you naked? When did we see you in prison? The Lord said, when did we see you in a crib? You did when you went to Romania. And you literally kissed the face of God. I can't explain it. You have to go there. Even Jack, my contractor, said, Nan, you would share at your mission conference, but once you come, it's so different. It's like up close and personal. And God, not only are you reaching out, but there's like it's in reach. Something happens within you that God speaks to your heart of his love for us. Because God, these kids used to be called the forsaken children of Romania or the forgotten children of Romania. And they're not forgotten because the Lord used an ordinary girl to do an extraordinary thing because I serve an extraordinary God. It's God. Glory to him, because believe me, I would have never stayed 15 years in this country if it wasn't for God leading me. And the fruit from it, the fruit from being obedient, because really, I didn't do anything. God gave me even the faith to go there, the resources, every little thing except obedience. And when God calls you to do something, obey, because I have seen so much fruit and so much joy and heartache, but it's worth it to be able to rescue a child who may not have been able to live in a family. It's worth it. And I'm so excited that this year Pat is going to do the photos for our 2010 calendar. She's coming back in July. You could pray for her because these calendars really are used by the Lord to have people pray for us. I do have a few in the back if you'd like to have a calendar. They're free. But, you know, this is so exciting how God handpicks. Every year we get a different photographer. And I saw some of Pat's pictures. I go, would you like to come back and do our calendar? And she said, I'm sure she prayed about it, but she said yes. And so thank you, Family God, for just your support, your love. I hope I get to see many of you in the years to come. You men, you don't have an excuse now. You can come and build Bedrock Fold Ranch. Not that you don't, you know, sometimes you may not. It's harder for men sometimes to get off work. But we definitely need men and women who know how to build, because we're going to have teams of Romanians as well as Americans to come over to help the cost of building. So just pray about it and see if God leads you. God bless you. Mulțumesc mult. Thank you.
Oh, I have nothing to add to that. Nanette has a table in the back here. It's, as she said, the things there you can take. Feel free to ask her any questions that you'd like and just pray. Maybe the Lord would put it on your heart. to be a part of it. You can support in prayer. You can support in finance. You can support by going there. And the reason Pat didn't go the first few years is because I was in the way. And once the Lord worked on my heart, the doors are wide open now. So anyway, pray about it. See what the Lord would have you do. And let's close. Lord Jesus, let's stand and pray. Lord Jesus, oh Lord, we know that you love the little children. And Lord, thank you for this work that you've called Nan to, Lord. And as you've shown through Nan, Lord, we just need the heart to love children, Lord. And where you call, you equip. And thank you, Lord, that you use us simple people, Lord, to do your great work. Thank you, Lord, that you just ask us to pour out your love that it might be multiplied in another nation, Lord. We just love you, Lord, for what you've done. So, Lord, I just pray you touch hearts, Lord, and move them to support in some fashion, Lord, whether it be prayer, financial, or physical, Lord, that this work would continue. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done and what you're yet to do, Lord. Your ways are so much higher than ours. We do love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you can't.